I call the April 16th, 2019 regular board meeting of Glencoe Park District to order. Lisa, please call the roll and note the time.
7:02. Commissioner Boren?
Yes.
Commissioner Kimball?
Yes.
Commissioner Ludden?
Yes.
Commissioner Underdonk?
Yes.
President Brooks?
Yes. Okay, consent agenda items. A through D are routine. Recommended motion. Does any commissioner want any item pulled from the consent agenda items?
No.
Okay, I entertain a motion to approve the consent agenda items as presented.
So moved.
Roll call vote, please.
Commissioner Boren?
Yes.
Commissioner Kimball?
Yes.
Commissioner Ludden?
Yes.
Commissioner Underdonk?
Yes.
President Brooks?
Yes, motion passes. Matters from the public. It's our practice not to address questions at this time. However, we will take comments under advisement. Please limit comments to 3 minutes per person. You've done this before, so you know the old routine. Would anyone like to speak?
My name is Barbara Simon. I didn't know. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Going
yep.
The minutes?
Yes, thank you.
Yep, it is.
And the minutes are available to everyone, right?
Yes, they're on our website once they get approved.
We had hoped that there would be a representative here from the Pioneer Press, but they didn't make it. But tonight, I'm proposing that you take a step back from the Green Bay Trail and think about going back to the drawing board. It seems that it was conceived without heart and without soul. No soul here. Why you would propose such a plan without having consulted the neighbors, for starters, I mean the neighbors, so that they get the message. They might have been here tonight. Attendance is a result of whatever communications you put out there, that's how effective it is. At every single meeting, it's a shame, a shambles that the people who are most affected don't know a thing about tonight's meeting or maybe a lot of other ones anyway. You know better. You know how project. How you got it started. Basic neighborliness would be to talk to people who are the most affected. It occurred to me, do you realize there's access from the Green Bay Trail right on to Park District behind the building? You could go from the trail, you could build whatever you want in that field that doesn't, that affects fewer people. Anyway, think about that. Also, what about this restoring the Stan Schumann garden? No regard, no respect for everyone who went before us who ensured that it remained a green space. It feels like a sellout. It feels like a land grab. It feels like it benefits who? People passing through. People who live there. I don't understand where any of it comes from, but it doesn't feel like a park district for the people, or by the people. Certainly not of the people. I mean, where are the people? Let's see. My minutes are probably up, but could anybody repeat to affirm that you heard what was said here?
I'm happy to say I heard you, yes, absolutely.
I propose that you take some more time and reconfigure your priorities, who you're serving. Okay, far apart, we're worlds apart from understanding what went into your thinking processes here. It's so offensive and not trustworthy, not one bit. Now I speak for many and I speak for myself, but mostly for myself, and that's about it for the moment.
Thank you.
Very disappointing.
We are.
Go ahead, Nicole. Thank you for listening.
First of all, I have a question. I don't know if you will answer it, but on your agenda, you said you will vote for the approval. So is it a done deal? Whatever we say here is useless?
Well, tonight they have the action item where they will decide if they would like to approve with the approving the contract for design and construction. So,
which means is it, it's done?
It's not a done deal until they make that vote.
I don't understand.
The board will vote on that item tonight,
yeah.
Later on in the agenda, and then it will.
Okay.
Then it's a done deal.
Looks like a done deal. I'll say whatever I have to say. Because I'm most affected. I live at 43 Crescent Drive, and behind my house is probably the narrowest part of the park. Besides getting rid of the park, basically, because your project is composed of two parts, those exercise machines and the two trails, the path, bicycle path. So besides getting rid of the green space, the trails will create a ruckus behind my house. I can imagine Sunday morning, people congregating, like cyclists, walkers, etc. As far as the what you call the fitness amenities, they're ugly, they're hideous. They will not age well. They will rot, they will rust. That's one thing. I've been corresponding with President Brooks, and I noticed in your last letter that you were using, I think I told you in the letter, like advertising jargon. In other words, it seems to me that you have been sold the bill of goods by some people and that you're pitching it back to us. How else can you explain the use of expressions such as fitness amenities, recreational trails? I don't understand what those mean. That means it's empty, empty language. What else can I say? For me, Glencoe, I've lived here for almost 40 years. It's a haven. When I come from downtown, it's like paradise. I'm sure you've read the Bloomberg report and the classification of Glencoe in that list. And you're moving on that. You are definitely moving that, aesthetically and in many, many, many other ways. And you're affecting my quality of life. I live right behind that. And I am offended by those ugly machines. And by the language you use, you're like you're pitching something to us that doesn't make sense. I had more to say, but I feel like it's useless.
Would anyone else like to speak?
It's a dire and grave matter, depending on one's experience. It's a perspective.
It's a done deal, it's finished, it's over. And it's going to be ugly. I'm going to have a thoroughfare behind my house. And it's ugly machine.
If it's not for the common good, who is it serving?
Thank you.
Okay. So does anyone else want to speak this evening? No? Okay.
Well, I just have a question.
Sure.
I'm sorry, I just moved here to Glencoe in August. How does it affect my taxes? Was it donations or is it a levy on my real estate taxes to pay for all this?
Neither.
Neither. Oh, okay. How does it affect my tax bill?
However, we are actively seeking grants for the trail, and of course, we're accepting donations, as we always would, for our projects. So I don't want to eliminate donations as a possibility, but that is not how this project is being funded.
Okay, I'm the other side, so I have no opinion. I just want to know. But taxes are all my concern, because sure. Tax watching and everything else.
As it is, yes.
Because I know how you're going to go, and you're making a huge, huge mistake. You're affecting me and the people who live around Preston Garden.
Thank you. Thank you for sharing your opinion.
So, I'm going to move on. Approval of resolution number 897. Rogelio Aviles.
Yes.
10 years service. Recommended motion. I'd like to read the resolution now.
Yes, please.
Rogelio Aviles, 10-year service resolution number 897, and Mr. Aviles is not here today because I know he's just come back from a joint replacement, and hopefully he's taken it easy this evening. Whereas Rogelio Aviles was employed by the Glencoe Park District on the staff of the Parks and Facilities Maintenance Team as a full-time staff member beginning on April 6, 2009, whereas Rogelio also served for 10 years prior to his promotion to full-time as a part-time Parks and Facilities Maintenance Team staff member beginning June 16, 1999, whereas in realization of his consistent commitment of time, energy, and expertise to the betterment of services and facilities of the district, and whereas Rogelio has been a vital part of the Parks and Facilities Maintenance Team in which he has provided commitment and dedication, and whereas his service, passion, and skill as part-time facility maintenance staff and working up to a full-time staff member has been an asset to the Glencoe Park District, and whereas Rogelio has served the Glencoe Park District in a loyal and faithful manner for 10 years, full-time, and the residents of Glencoe have benefited from his dedication and professionalism. Now, therefore, be it resolved, the Glencoe Park District Board of Commissioners, representing all the residents of the Park District, recognize the meritorious service of Rogelio Aviles and record it in the permanent records of the Glencoe Park District for all to see. This resolution shall be in full force and in effect immediately upon its passage.
Excellent.
Okay, I would like to know if staff has anything to say,
Chris?
If they would like to add.
I'm very appreciative to have Rogelio. He's a beloved member of our team. He's always a smiling face. He's my son's favorite custodian. Rogelio is known for saying hola to the kids every day, and they all call him Mr. Hola, bringing Valentine's and things like that. He functions very much like a school custodian here in the early childhood wing, and he has a relationship with the children, and it's really one of those relationships where he's a difference maker who does work behind the scenes, but he is an integral part of the success of all of our programs and operations here at TAKIF. But he couldn't be here this evening because he's still fighting off an illness, but I know he'll appreciate the award and the recognition, so thank you.
He's one of those that you notice immediate difference when he's not working. So we're very proud to have him on our team.
Wow, that's fantastic. So I'm sorry he's not here because it would be really something for him to hear this and see this, but hopefully it'll get written up or something and he can see it. I entertain a motion to approve resolution number 897, Rogelio Aviles, 10 years service as presented.
Second.
Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
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 Okay, of course, motion passes.
All right.
Very good. Okay, moving to the 2019-2020 Budget and Appropriation Ordinance number 898. The Budget and Appropriation Ordinance, BAO, has been reviewed by legal counsel and has been on public display for the required period. I declare this public hearing open to discuss the BAO. Carol, would you please give a brief summary?
Sure. Last month, we accepted the working budget of the Park District, and the legal document that is filed with the county clerk's office is the Budget and Appropriations Ordinance. So it specifies not only the working budget in one column of the ordinance, which is really what staff is held accountable to. That's really what our working guideline is for all of the individual funds for our master plan capital projects. It's spelled out quite detailed by fund. The appropriation is typically 10 to 20% above the budgeted amount, and it really comes into play For unexpected things that might happen where we have money in fund balances, as you all are aware, per our fund balance guideline, I tried to explain to Dudley an instance where perhaps a mandate from IMRF, we get our IMRF rate in December for the following year, so it's kind of in the middle of the fiscal year, or things happen such as the expansion of the daycare program, which resulted in higher than expected budgeted monies for both IMRF and Social Security this year. So we always want to build in a little bit of an amount because that really is the guideline that the county will hold us to. If we are going to be above that, we have to amend our budget and appropriations ordinance at the end of the fiscal year. And so that kind of gives a little bit of the difference between the budget and appropriation amount. Our total budget this year is a little over $12.8 million. That includes debt service for our outstanding bond issues, our master and capital plan projects, and our operations, which accounts for approximately $10 million of that.
Okay. Discussion, questions? Yeah. Of course, we've gone over this in previous meetings, so it's not really like we're like, oh, okay.
We're passing. It's been a long time coming.
Multiple rounds of conversation.
Well, you're spending your money.
I know that. She thought they're still discussing.
Yeah.
So that goes for pretty much everything on the agenda tonight, and we thank you for coming as a resident, because it's always good to get involved. But just so you do know, we've had sometimes months of discussions on some of these items, so we have had
a years.
Or years.
So, yeah.
I moved here because of that. You have a triple A rating.
Yeah.
Carol!
Woo!
Yes. Thank you!
He moved here because of that.
You'll know me complaining if it ever goes down.
Carol, do you want to get a picture for your...
I know. I get it.
Yeah, I like
a
fan.
Well, I don't know, the state's bankruptcy, but you keep, I wish you should take over the state.
Sure.
You do good, thank you.
Okay. Okay. Thankful.
Yes. Okay, I declare the... Okay. If any members of the public like to comment, do so now if you have anything further you'd like to say about this. Okay, I declare this public hearing closed.
Then you can take action.
Okay, here we go. Approval of Ordinance Number 898, an ordinance making a combined annual budget and appropriation of funds for the Glencoe Park District for the fiscal year beginning March 1, 2019. The BAO establishes the board's legal spending limits for various funds and line items within the annual budget. It does not reflect the board's intention to spend, only its capacity. The annual budget remains the financial tool which guides the district, to which the board holds the staff accountable. Recommended motion. I entertain a motion to approve Ordinance Number 898, an ordinance making a combined annual budget and appropriation of funds for the Glencoe Park District for the fiscal year beginning March 1, 2019, as presented.
So moved. Second.
Any discussion? Roll call vote, please.
Commissioner Boren.
Yes.
Commissioner Kimball.
Yes.
Commissioner Ludden.
Yes.
Commissioner Underdunk.
Yes.
President Brooks.
Yes. Okay, motion passes. On to the financial report. 1 month of the fiscal year is complete. What have you got to tell us?
Not a whole lot to tell at this point, only being 1 month into it. Just looking across the board, I think we're up over recreation programs over last year at this time. Daycare is. It's really kind of hard to tell at this point in time. As we enter into the next few months, selling the beach passes, we'll start to learn a little bit more. And as you know, the weather is really impactful on that, but it's usually a good quarter year, way into the year, before we really can make any ideas on things.
Any other questions? All right. Okay.
Okay.
Thank you.
This will be good. Presentation of the 2018-19 Watts Recreation Center Report, presenting are Bobby Collins and Adam Wall.
Did you guys put a memo out to each other to look the same.
Oh, look at that.
Like the twins.
That's nice.
What'd you say?
Thank you, OCD.
No, I texted him this morning. I was just going to actually just introduce Adam to do the presentation. It's not that long of a presentation, so he's going to do it. But Adam is our Take It at Watts facility manager. He's in charge of Fit Center Watts. He's at Take It at Center. So he's going to do the presentation. What are your thoughts or questions? All right. You guys got me 2 months in a row. So. This time we'll be talking about the Watts Recreation Center and an overview of the fiscal year 2018-2019. An overview of what we'll talk about tonight, staffing and training, facility improvements, ICE programming, some of the trends, statistical data related to the season, and then our non-ICE programming and special events that also occur in the facility. Staffing and training is a big part of going into opening up the facility each year. We work really closely collaborate with the Parks Department to get the ice made and get the facility up and running. As far as staffing goes, heavily involved with part-time staff, seasonal part-time staff, so assistant managers that also typically are Zamboni drivers, cashiers, skate guards, party attendants, make up a bulk of the staff. All of our Zamboni trainers go through a minimum of 5 training sessions to make sure that they're ready to go for the season. We also, throughout the season, we'll do in-season training to keep people on par with what the expectations from a safety standpoint, operations standpoint, to make sure we're providing the best programming and operations for the community. We're continuing to look at those staffing levels to make sure we're being fiscally responsible for what the needs are to operate the facility as well. Some different facility improvements that have gone over, these are just a handful. We put in new doors, non-awning and LED lights for the kids' club operation. So outside of the ice season, they'll actually enter in available inside of the building. So it's a beautiful new awning that's kids' club on it, new doors. They're using lighting leads that are accessible. There's also asphalt repairs down that driveway last fall. We continue to do painting throughout the facility, dashboard repairs. We also, a big project this year was replacement of 4 of our heater air conditioner units that were done in December. We'll hopefully make the facility a lot more efficient from that standpoint. We also had a Zamboni group exhaust chimney repair. As far as ICE programming, this is a big thing that draws people to the facility is we have learned to skate programming and minor hockey classes. Something new this year that we offer is a winter break program. First year in probably a few years has been offered, and we had about 25 participants participate in learn to skate classes over winter break. We also brought in Jamal Mayers and did a Blackhawks alumni clinic, and had 12 participants in that. Gave Brad Walsh some hockey gear as well as some Blackhawk tickets, which is pretty neat. You can kind of see our trends are staying pretty steady. We had a peak a couple years ago. For the most part, our numbers are staying pretty steady across the board. As far as public skating, we're going to hockey comparison, just kind of show you a brief overview of how we compare to our neighboring rinks. As you can see, we have over double the amount of public skating offering, and that's public skating on the main rink. The majority of our open hockey is all on the studio rink, which is a really nice thing that we have to be able to have that while having open skating on the main rink. So you can see we offer a tremendous amount compared to Wilmette, Skokie, Highland Park, and Winnetka.
Adam, is that hours per week?
Hours per week, yes. So we have 36 hours of public skate on the neighboring each week. Nice. Kind of season passes comparison. So you can see we've been pretty steady here. Our overall numbers are trending down, and what's helped keep our total net a little bit higher was institution of combo pass for hockey and public skate a couple years ago, and that's helped keep that number a little bit higher. So the daily attendance trends, so you can see how our daily attendance is trending upwards. This is a little bit weather dependent, but you know, we're seeing a trend in people coming into the facility. So public skate is a big driver, as well as open hockey. So you can see our public skate continues to go up. We have about 800 more people come through the facility this year. Something neat we did this year was opening day. We had a 3-day where we had over 500 people come through that facility on Black Friday. It was a perfect day. It was low 50s. People were really excited to be there. They come in for free. We just had skate rentals to help and charge them. We had over 300 skate rentals charged and numerous people bringing their own skate. So it was a pretty neat event to see. We're packed all day long. Daily fee revenue is also trending upwards. So you can see the breakdown from public skate youth to adults to our adult hockey skate rentals and free admissions as well. So you can see how those trends are going on a yearly basis, which is nice to see trend up. And it's not our public skate admission fees haven't gone up, so that's not necessarily a trend there. So it's kind of going up along with our attendance figures. Some that's not here to note is we had a really successful winter break. We had a lot of people come through. We had over double the amount of revenue just in that kind of 2-week window. People really loved. We had open skate on the main rink from pretty much 11 to 5 every day of the winter break. So people were really excited about that. They had really quality weather, so that helped as well. So seeing that extended open skate on the main rink really helped drive that for that. Building rentals, so it's not about how much you book, it's about how much you really cancel from a facility rental standpoint. Being that we had a really successful winter weather-wise, we didn't have to cancel a ton. So our attendance rental figures were pretty successful this season, trending upwards overall as well. Some special event non-ice programming that we have in the facility. So year-round kids club through the school year is run out of the facility. So you can see our total participants per day. So this is the AM care and PM care combined. So we have 55 or so on average participating in our kids club program, which is continuing to grow. Something neat they had installed this year was a Promethean board. So they do educational games and activities with the students to kind of enrich and their program. Yearly, our Hospital Zero is a well-attended event, a huge collaboration across the entire district from all the departments to make that a success. We have two really successful teen ice nights this year. The first one had over 100 participants, and the second one, a little bit colder night, so we had about 70 come to that second night. We also partnered with a couple real estate agents this winter, and they actually sponsored and put on a gingerbread house partner event. So it's a nice way to kind of get new people into the facility and get to do a fun event and skate. We also have done some kind of pop-up days on those cold days. So we'll slime and skate on a cold day or a day off of school. So a couple days before, we'll start shooting this out and getting new people in the door. We did one here on one, but at Lodge, we also did one where they could make slime and then go skate. We had about 25 participants in that. And of course, our Action Plus camp is stationed out of Watts as well, in addition to a variety of hip hop, dance, theater programming. So we have over 127 participants throughout the school year that participate in a variety of different enrichment programs throughout the building. That's all I have. If you have any questions about anything related to the facility?
I saw the new sign for that. Daycare. Yeah, it was a nice improvement. I think the parents who go there every day know where to go, but it's just a good marker and indicator.
So they went to grandparents or the babysitter or the other parent comes to pick up. That's what we noticed we need to make some big improvements.
Yeah, because I pick up for dance and no matter what day I go, someone's always trying to get in the various stores and they still don't know. So. And then I went to many of these activities that you had and really nice events this year. Especially
at
opening day, that was
about
that with the weather, but that was a nice addition.
And we also have the advisory committee meeting next Tuesday for Watts Lodge.
Monday.
No, I'm sorry, I'm the chairman of this
meeting.
Oh my gosh, that's great! I've got that. But at any rate, you're certainly welcome. I mean, I think what is important to me, guys, about the presentation is when you see the recruiting age groups, that I'm not going to say, but when you see recruiting age groups, they are difficult to recruit to surprise us, but for teenagers, they're less likely to use. And yet, with the athletic facility here now, and we want to send them to the beach. We're getting people, we're serving people we don't typically get to serve. In addition, funding at Watts is always somewhat challenging because it's a short season, but the numbers are going up. And what's really impressive to me about it is also the rentals, the facility, the use of it. And we're not even getting to the areas where the departments are for PE or other things, where there's just a tremendous use of this facility.
Go ahead, Douglas.
Do you find any challenges in getting staff?
Always. You know, it's hard to find a good example regarding our specialty. We utilize our own staff. They like to be able to work in the winter, so that helps. Mm-hmm. But it's a real challenge to find any good example regarding with any kind of experience. And when they don't have any experience, you're starting from ground zero, you know, training them, and have to really take. And I've been on the facility for 2 years. I'm still learning things every day. I'm driving, so it's a real challenge to find qualified part-time staff.
Does that thing go around every day? Like,
is it morning?
Yeah, like
multiple times a day. It could be
multiple times a day.
It could be 5, 6, 7, 8 times, depending on what's going on.
Wow. First of all, I'd like to say the report was really well done. That report. Really well done, laid out nice, really easy, visually very good. So thank you. Good data in there. Always looking for data about resident versus non-resident. I didn't see that.
I can provide some of that.
That would be interesting. Yeah. You know.
There's some in the report online for the ICE rental fees.
Oh.
It compares Wilmette and Park Connector.
Oh, that. No, that's I was thinking resident, non-resident attendees.
I have something related to passes specifically. Yeah. I can share that so you can see kind of the breakdown of non-resident passes versus resident passes.
Right, that's good. And, you know, a lot of it is, you know, always trying to focus who are we serving our residents and that kind of thing. And then one last thing, because it's just something that used to make me nuts when my kids, I'm a skater, I grew up skating, and I always wanted my kids to go to one time that I always wanted them to go when they had time was after school on Friday. That's when most kids don't have stuff, and it's never available for open skate after school on Friday. So I know you probably can't, and this isn't anything, but I think it would be a really good time for kids to be able to go over there and skate.
Most Fridays we had it until about 7:15, 7 o'clock, depending on the couple that didn't fall that way, but we tried to keep the main rink public skating from about 5 to 7.
5 to 7, I'm talking right after school.
So I'm kind of after.
You know, just look at, I mean, I don't know, it seems that it's always rented, hockey rental. I just think that that would be, that's the time when your kids don't have activity.
Fridays.
And you want them to get a little, you know, burn out a little bit of energy, so that's, you know, just thought. I love what you're doing to get kids in there. If you have events, even if they're free, if it gets kids on the ice, they're going to hopefully want to go again when it's $5, you know.
Just on Adam's team, the Gingerbread Fest was a free event. We, the realtors actually sponsored it, paid for it, and we had a sign up. We had
there was 50 families that were there, a lot of that.
So they underwrote the whole event. It was providing a free event at no cost to the district, so it was a very innovative way of getting people into the facility, providing a great event at no cost, and also promoting local business. So that was a very innovative thing that they did. So
very good.
Something else I forgot to mention in the presentation was something new we did this year. We're close with Aaron. Was we did a new mailer in October and drove our registration for a lot of our classes. We had the same time, I think, opening day compared to the year before, we had about 80 more registrations for Learn to Skate class, and that was a big component of that going out in October.
Yeah.
And we'll continue to do that because it got the word out, you know, so weather's starting to turn, people are starting to think of, you know, the outdoor rink and get out on ice.
Great, thank you.
Adam, I'm pretty disappointed. My kids took ice skating lessons in 2008 and 2010.
They're
still terrible.
Can't take blame for that.
They're good at wordball. I've seen them play wordball.
Yes.
So.
Probably any better skaters if they or your regime. I'd like to say something about wordball, and that really brings fans together.
Yeah, that's great.
It gets them, you know, working together, or maybe families against each other, but anyhow, this is a great thing. And
to find.
And it's another way to use the ice that I think is very creative.
That last hour of public skating on Saturday and Sunday, you know half the ring is going to be involved.
Awesome.
That's great.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Adam.
Business.
Well, we are getting ready for the auditors to come in 2 weeks for their field work. They'll be here that week of April 29th. And I would like to announce that Larice Weil, our registration customer service manager, after 15 plus years, will be retiring end of June. And so she will be missed, her knowledge, way with patrons, co-workers, everybody.
She's just the best.
She is the best. But the good news is that with Lauren here for 7 years and learning under Larice's wings, and Jill, who was our part-time person, that they have definitely earned the right to move up and to assume positions accordingly. So I'm excited to say that we'll be looking for a part-time person. But very excited to bring some new staff up through the ranks that have put in their time as well. So, but we wish nothing but the best for Larice in her retirement.
Right. So it'll be a seamless transition.
Yes.
So.
Her party is going to be June 20th, by the way. So more details on that coming out. But
okay. Oh, that's nice. All righty. Recreation and facilities.
Getting ready for the beach. Boathouse opens May 11th. I'm getting ready to see them. I've just finished a 4-day intensive U.S. powerboat course, and I've used one of a very limited group of people who's now an instructor for powerboating, so it's very rare to bring that training in-house. It's getting ready for the beach house opening May 25th. Lots of hiring going on down there. It's a very competitive labor market right now for lifeguards, but we're in good shape. He's been on it early, which has helped. We've got some really good staff members, and we're looking to hire a couple more, but we're feeling in good shape. ELC, Children's Circle enrollments, is ongoing. All of the Children's Circle kids who are currently in the program have said they are going to come back next year, which is great. We've got some long wait lists growing in that program again. ELC continues to grow. We're doing tours every day, so we're feeling good about it. Camp enrollments, revenue-wise, is strong. Very strong compared to this time last year. We're pulling various different camps. And we just had a really great spring headhunt on Saturday, which was hundreds of residents at. It was really fun, great weather, a lot of dogs, a lot of really great memories being made by people at the event.
I thought about you guys Saturday because I saw the forecast for Sunday and I thought, man, we got really lucky.
Yeah, extremely lucky.
Yeah, I saw the pictures online too. That's really great.
Okay, parks and maintenance.
Well, it's a busy time of year. Spring has cooperated so far, other than the 3 to 4 inches of snow that we had on Sunday. We're up and running with baseball, soccer, tennis. Staff's busy with seasonal preparations, making repairs to the pier. Number of other areas. We had our first prescribed burn at the Everly Sanctuary at the end of March, which is very exciting because we're really starting to see dividends. All the investment we've made in that area over the last 4 years start to pay off. It's been very exciting. Other than what's in my report, I'm excited to say that we have made the repairs at Milton Playground. We installed the 2 new slides that were delivered in January, so we were able to extend the life of that playground here in the short term.
Yeah, I passed by today and had people working. Was that what
they
were
doing? Good.
I have a question.
Sure, go ahead.
Yeah, what can we do to deal with our pier? What's the long-term solution on that?
Well, that's a great question. It's something we're working on. You know, when the pier was originally built, they were seasonally removing the railings. So that was the way that it was originally constructed, and over time we've changed that practice organizationally. We're going to go back and look at, you know, the reasons that they were designed to be done that way. But, you know, at the end of the day, the ice and the water gets in there, and there may be nothing you can do about it. So It's kind of an evaluation, and we'll see if any, what improvements we can make, but unfortunately, it's kind of just the nature of being next to Lake Michigan. Sometimes things get smashed and destroyed by the ice. So
yeah. the higher water level is making a big...
The issue that we have this year is based on ice damage. So removing the railings may allow the water to drain a little more efficiently, but it's still going to turn to ice if the weather is against us. So that's something that we're kind of looking into and figuring out organizationally.
It's the second layer, just our longest pier. So with that, there's, you know, more vulnerability to that pier. And the second longest pier in Lake Michigan and the North Shore. Navy Pier is the first, and we're the second. So yeah, there you go. You can generate some revenue there. So the high water levels, you know, that's causing a lot of the issues. But and so it's something we budget yearly to fix after the thing. Just similar to the steps going down to the beach, you get some water in there, you get ice, and you're going to loosen that up. It's similar to the pier. So it's something that costs to do
like
business.
Taking the benches off the end of the pier at the season so they don't get washed off and stuff like that. So we have been proactive in that regard, but you know, unfortunately, Lake Michigan is very powerful.
Okay. Marketing and communications, Erin?
Oh, yeah. So we're wrapping up Inside Flunco, getting ready to send that one out. We're also getting ready to send out our summer mailer in May. So we're getting ready, sadly, also to start the fall, I'm not sure.
Oh my goodness.
Oh,
yeah. We work 4 months in advance, right? So.
Okay, and then the ever popular Safety and Wellness Committee, and Carol?
I do have to report that with the underground storage tank, we did get a check from Panerma today due to Chris's hard work for $24,000 reimbursement for the remediation of that. So that will be put back into Fund 69.
Good.
So,
like that. Well done.
Yes. We have insurance that covers against surprise underground tank fines.
Yes.
We do.
It didn't cover the removal of the tank because that was our property. It covered the environmental remediation that was realized because the tank leaked.
Wow.
It's actually a fairly common occurrence at park districts.
Yeah.
Right. And it's the old oil tanks that they had.
Yes, it was
the school.
Oh,
no, for...
That might have been a house, right? No. That was a house?
It was gas tanks for the Parks Department.
Oh, okay.
Oh, really?
For vehicle fuel.
Really?
There has been oil tanks for houses before, too, in our properties through the history. Yeah.
Oh, sure. Yeah. Sure. Interesting. Okay.
It's a fairly common occurrence.
Yeah.
Okay. Executive Director report, Lisa.
All right. So we talked about Glencoe Beach, and we'll be up and running. Bobby alluded to it, but that's a really big deal for us to have Matt pass that power safety instructor course. I think the last time we had that was it was you, but we hired him before he even worked to come and teach that. And so to keep up that tradition that we started with Bobby, that's a big thing. So we're glad that he took it. He had to do it last weekend in the blizzard. So he is prepared for early sailing this year. So he was telling me that. I'm like, are you kidding me? And he's like, nope, they were out there. So. I also want to say that just thank Chris and Bobby and Chris Petrini because they really worked hard to work with youth baseball this year, a combination of moving their season back a little bit and the parks team, Chris's whole team, really going above and beyond, in my opinion, to get them up and running for opening day was fantastic and showed our cooperation very much with that community and that sport and a willingness to work together. Unfortunately, we had a blizzard snow on Sunday and now rain all this week, so that's going to put that a little bit behind. But I think we showed the baseball community that we want them to play and that we're making every effort when we can. So thank you to your team for doing that also. So that's great. With that, Carol mentioned Larice, and I just want to mention that we'll be having our all-staff training for all of our seasonal staff and our part-time on Thursday, May 30th from 6:30 to 8 p.m. We usually bring a speaker in for that, and you're all invited to come in if you'd like to see that. We are the largest employers of teens in our community, and we take that role very seriously. We also today had a Barbara Heller out who did our strategic plan, and we did a, what, 3.5-hour innovation seminar with her about ways to look at things differently. And then we also, the A-team sat down with her with our strategic plan and just talked about ways that we can map that out going forward. So that was very beneficial for our whole team. So we're continually investing in our learning opportunities, how we can do things better. Teacher Appreciation Week is May 6th through the 10th. So if you happen to be around, please, and down in ELC and Children's Circle, thank our teachers, because obviously that program is so successful for them. But we do have a whole week of ways to celebrate them, little things and a luncheon. So we're working towards that.
Include
the luncheon does, right? Includes the Richmond, the lunch
all
includes,
all
yeah, yep. We talked about our special events, which are great to watch report. We'll next committee meeting on May 7th, we'll be talking about two things at that meeting. So we would like it to be a committee of the whole meeting, if at all possible. One will be the dog park, the next step for that, talk about that and where we move, if we are going to move forward with that or not. And then we also are going to have, hopefully, the village manager come in and talk about Tudor Court. And some of the issues that, not issues, some of the things, the ramifications, it's good for us, is that the part of that project is on Park District land, but the good part is that they're dead end of the street, and so that property where the road is actually our property. We gave them easement, so we will they'll be turning that property back to us after they take out the road and things like that. But in exchange, they need an easement from us to do some of the property, some improvements. I sent you the design to do some of that, so we're doing the easement and that. So we can talk about that a little bit also. And if he's not there, I can talk about that.
Does the village plan to pay to restore the land after they move?
So what we'll do is we'll just put grass in there for now. But between us, the village, and Writer Theater, we're looking for possible donors to improve that land. And we're still talking with the village if it would be advantageous if they would do a master plan for that site immediately, if they would be willing to pay for that. So that way we have something, again, to try to find donations for. The part of the agreement with taking that road out is the residents who live along that way would like a sidewalk through the park. And I said, you know, it would be a shame if we put a sidewalk in and then have a design have to remove it. It'd be really nice if we could do a master plan for that site, know where a sidewalk would go to so that we could put it in the right way the first time. And so they're still checking on that and seeing if they're able to do that. If that is the case, we would use the same architects that have been in that whole plan. It just makes sense to do that. So, but any plans would come before the park board, obviously, for approval. That's, it would be up to you to approve that design. Okay? I put some more information on our pilot program and links that you can get more information as this process. It's a very long process. And we don't plan to see any sediment placement for 2 years, not next spring, the spring after. We are working with three governmental bodies, and you all know how that works. So when we get information, the more information we get, we will present to the board. We'll always have whatever we find. We also put it on our website for the community to easily access to.
Lisa, with regard to this project, I wanted to say thank you for including all of these links here, as well as in some of the earlier email communications. For my fellow board members, who might not be as obsessed about the beach as I am, spent probably an hour and a half reviewing numerous EPA and Army Corps of Engineers on these sites, and I'm comfortable that they don't indicate there would be any problem with placing the sand.
Right.
Obviously, you should feel free to review them yourself, and I encourage you to, but it's encouraging.
Gosh, that makes me happy that you read it all, because we wouldn't even advance it unless we knew that information, so thank you.
I
But thank you. Yes, I encourage all of you, because there's there may be people out there that don't know all the information, all the research, all the cleanups that's been done through the years, and there's still site effects from 20 years ago. So it's important that if you ever are in the community and someone approaches you, that you at least have some of these basic facts down and where to send them to, so they read it for themselves. We're not trying to hide anything. We're very transparent on this issue, and we'll continue to be transparent on the issue.
And just, I thought a line that, you know, we're going to hear from people, when the sand arrives on community beaches, it may look darker
Correct.
Than the quarry sand typically used, because it has less exposure to oxygen, because it's coming from
yeah.
underwater, of course. But of course, it's clean and safe. So that color is not an indication
of
this. Of his, its cleanliness.
Exactly,
it's
exactly.
Really a different color for
right.
the piece of sand.
Correct, so. That'll probably be the biggest perception problem.
Yeah.
But once you have it up on the beach and yeah. it dries and gets sunlight, it will turn to the same color as the current sand that we have.
That's presuming it doesn't wash away.
So, well, exactly, you know.
We should be so lucky. It
but, you know,
yeah,
right, really. Exactly. And we'll do also, we're committed in next year's budget or whenever it gets placed to put in other remediation, like plants to help hold it in place. That's our portion of it. That $25,000 will be to do some plantings to help with that. So,
sure.
And we'll work with the staff on exactly where those will be.
Like seagrass and that kind
mm-hmm.
of thing. Oh, cool.
Yep.
Always wanted that. That's mm-hmm. good. That's
maybe onshore and in the water.
Yeah.
So either. Well,
yes, speaking of the beach, do we have a lakefront meeting on April 23rd?
We have a lakefront next Tuesday, yes.
Next Tuesday.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
That's the lakefront committee.
Advisory committee, yes. Mm-hmm. Correct.
Okay.
Any other? I'll be going to Springfield later this month. For our legislative conference down in Springfield, and I'll be making visits to all of our legislators, just talking about some of the projects we have and learning. We'll learn soon if OSLAD grants were put into the budget for this year. So that's one of the main reasons I'm going down there, so I can advocate for a couple of our projects this year too, just to see the availability of those funds and get, you know, get our projects in their ears, so when those funds become available, when I send my emails, they'll take a look at those. So,
yeah.
Our senators and representatives have been very, very pleased with our projects of late. So, the trail and the halfway house and the playground. So,
wonderful. Okay, is that all, Lisa?
That's it. I'm done.
Okay. Any questions? All right. Then moving on, action items. I entertain a motion to approve the Altamanu Incorporated agreement for the schematic design development, construction documents, and construction management support for the approved Phase 1 elements in the Old Green Bay Linear Park Plan for $231,015, $20,785 if projects 4, 5, and 6 proceed to construction, and permission for the executive director to execute the design alternate for Maple Hill Crossing if reimbursement by the Village of Glencoe is confirmed, not to exceed $29,785 as presented.
So moved.
Any discussion?
Yes.
Oh. Yep. Okay. Okay.
I'm not quite sure of the relationship by KMOA and the other engineering firm, and who's paying for what with respect to the village's contribution.
So the
is the village paying for KLA?
The village is going to pay for the design of the Maple Hill Crossing if they choose to. They may use their own staff or another firm, but if they would like to use Altamanu and the representatives that ultimately are hiring, then we would enter agreement with them for not to exceed that $29,785 amount.
I'm sure we've discussed this and I didn't realize it, and I know in conversations Altamanu had said they have their own engineers, but this was very helpful to see that they, you know, what they hire out for and what they're doing,
mm-hmm.
they're the lead or they're the support. And I don't think I had a clear understanding of that. But seeing this all laid out,
mm-hmm.
I kind of understand more of the cost that is involved and what they have to pay the subcontractor.
This is the same contract that was put in last month with a change of the fitness slash activity pods. We reduced it from, I think, 7 to 4.
Yes.
So that was the only change in the contract from the last month. Four?
No, it was 4. Mm-hmm. We were sort of talking 3, but then we went, 4.
You could choose when it comes back from bidding to lower that if you choose.
What I wanted to say, and I realized that I'm speaking to almost converted here, but I'm going to watch somebody instead of watching the influence this week to listen to this recording. I think it's really important to make clear that this has been part of a process that's taken a couple of years.
Yes.
With multiple public meetings, like just when I got there nine months ago, whatever it was, just to make things move left. You would already have 3 or 4 meetings, and I know that we have at least 4 meetings. And every commissioner has participated, made suggestions. We didn't always agree to this process, but it was a really healthy discussion and moving forward to the community. And I think that's important for people to realize, based on what a couple of people said here tonight. None of the comments took me totally by surprise, having had one of the participants doing some rather well. She attended my coming 30 years ago, so I'm not getting ready for her. But the key thing is like there's a ton of land, right? This has always been part of the park district. We're not changing things from green space, we're actually enhancing the green space. We are moving the ability of people to actually get into the green space a little bit better, and that's a big part of the project. And where there are play structures and things going in, it's where there is already a play structure or further up where we have here among the parks, so we'll benefit the age groups that are taking advantage of it without destroying the concept of the green space. And finally, even after taking this action, if we choose to do it as a board, there are still several steps along the way before it actually gets done. And the community has been informed every step of the way. If somebody hasn't known up until now, it has been a learning and I understand why somebody wouldn't particularly be that interested because it's not part of their life, but they've had the opportunity to learn through us and through the mailings that we've done, through all the articles in the various press, between the Pioneer Press and the Anchor, et cetera, where most of us have been trying to very extensively. So, the other reason I'm mentioning it, like I said, is I think it really needs to be stated for the record over and over and over again as we take on processes like this.
That's very well said.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
and
thank you.
I think, too, that you have to remember that we had a lot of positive feedback on this project as well that wasn't represented tonight, and we have had the negative feedback and we have talked to people and changed things in the plan for that purpose. So. And I just want to clarify, Barbara is not a Glencoe resident, is that correct?
That is correct. She used to be, but she's no longer a resident.
Not that that doesn't matter, but I just wanted to clarify that.
Yes, that's correct.
And that, change is hard, and that's going to be, we knew that going in. Nobody likes change, and it's hard for people to imagine that it's not going to be a circus.
And to add to that, that the mandate to us to embark upon a project like this was not coming from designers who came to us and suggested we do this. Mm-hmm. Quite different process. It really came from the community and the master plan and the surveys that we did.
Community survey, yeah.
So it
Trails were the single highest rated thing that people said they needed and wanted and were willing to invest in.
Right, and the assessment of our Park District property came with the recommendation that we make some of our passive land activated, which means, I think very simply, it's not just to look, it's to use. So those are difficult concepts to understand, especially when you've enjoyed the beautiful benefits of parkland for years, expanding your backyard. I firmly believe this project will make life even better for the people who live around there. And I know it's going to be a while until the project's done, and they'll see that, but that's what I think. So, alrighty then. So, discussion, any others? Okay, roll call vote, please.
Commissioner Boren?
Yes.
Commissioner Kimball?
Yes.
Commissioner Ludden?
Yes.
Commissioner Underdunk?
Yes.
President Brooks?
Yes. Motion passes. All right, I will move on, and I entertain a motion to approve the Bauer Latoza Studio Agreement for Architectural Services, specifically the development of the design and legal bid documents, including construction management support, for a total of $29,500, as presented.
So moved.
Second.
Any discussion? It was quite a while ago that we had that consultant speak to us, wasn't it?
Remember? Yeah, because we put this in the capital projects, right. And then it was, yes.
It was a while ago, but he was certainly very well respected.
Oh, very well respected, yes.
In the field of restoration and Art District restoration.
Yes.
All right, roll call vote, please.
Commissioner Boren?
Yes.
Commissioner Kimball?
Yes.
Commissioner Ludden?
Yes.
Commissioner Underdunk?
Yes.
President Brooks?
Yes, motion passes. I entertain a motion to approve the conceptual designs of the Takeoff Play Space with a design, construction, and equipment budget of $875,000 as presented.
Sorry.
Discussion.
I just wanted to add one thing. If they are going to add the flame mask that they talked about, can we maybe suggest that it's like, there's a really cool park that they did in Vernon Hills, and it's the shape of like an animal. I think it was a
serpent,
like alligator or crocodile or something. But if they're going to do the mask, maybe be a little bit, creative. If we get to that point, I know that that's an add-on.
If we stay within budget, we can investigate that.
I hope
that.
We can do the mounds. They look so fun.
We'll keep it. Well, if we keep it within that budget.
We're thinking of things that we want added. Okay.
Yep.
All right. Sorry. One thing I thought today, and I mentioned to you, is that the West. I was thinking, what other project have we done where? I mean, there's 250 kids. They're out there three times a day. And then I thought, West Playground has a similar number of population. They're also out three times a day. And that project, of course, was more expensive.
Yes, that's correct.
And it's only for eight and 9 year olds. So it's kids whose physical abilities are very similar. So, so it's not, the variety of equipment and things. So I guess, it all just helps justify this as is. So any other discussion? Okay. So
roll call.
Roll call vote, please.
Commissioner Boren?
Yes.
Commissioner Kimball?
Yes.
Commissioner Ludden?
Yes.
Commissioner Underdunk?
Yes.
President Brooks?
Yes. Okay, motion passes. I entertain a motion to approve the post-issuance tax compliance report as presented.
Second.
Discussion?
That's the most boring
title. Discussion. Where's Carol's fan club? Where's Carol?
What is that? Post-issuance tax.
You want to explain, Carol?
Sounds awful, Carol.
So, because our bonds are 501c3 bonds, because we're a public building, we have to really look at our contracts every year, review the spacing and what's devoted to private use. So, GJK is 501c3. They're not part of it. Okay, there are certain exemptions every year for renters who use our building, and the fact that we've converted one big space into our fitness center that we run. It wasn't contracted out to a private entity. The fact that we expanded our daycare program, the reason that, Hakafa is now using less rooms and space. The reality is that percentage has decreased compared to last year, which is a good thing. But you always have to do due diligence and show that, yes, you really are doing it for public use.
For the public good.
Right.
So if not, then you really risk the tax exempt advantage to our bonds for investors.
We don't want that.
So.
Yeah. It's just for tax participants and building big buildings at a tax rate expense, and then having the private business come and use, 75% of it.
Right.
So.
Okay. Now we know. Roll call vote, please.
Commissioner Boren?
Yes.
Commissioner Kimball?
Yes.
Commissioner Ludden?
Yes.
Commissioner Underdunk?
Yes.
President Brooks?
Yes. Motion passes. Any other business?
We do not need to go into executive session.
Okay. That is certainly true. We do not.
So you can skip down all that, all the way to the back
all
page.
The way to, I entertain a motion to adjourn.
So.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Okay, motion passes.
All right, thank you.